Let's go ahead and get started. Before I turn it over to Patrick, I am informed that this is his last presentation to the committee. So, being as you have never been nice to him in the past, it is incumbent on us to be nice to him this morning. Paper number 14. Patrick?
Number 14. In January 2013, the committee received a request to clarify the transitional provisions of IFRS 10 and IFRS 11. Those transitional provisions provide relief from retrospective application in specific circumstances. However, the submitter observes that IFRS 10 and IFRS 11 do not provide specific relief from retrospective application in respect of the application of three standards, IAS 36, IAS 21, and IAS 23. The submitter thinks that a retrospective application
to Polycom conference recorder playback service.
The submitter thinks that a retrospective application of these standards could be problematic when first applying IFRS 10 and IFRS 11. The submission is shown in Appendix A of this paper. We acknowledge that IFRS 10 and IFRS 11 do not provide specific transition relief in respect of the application of these standards, IAS 36, IAS 21, and IAS 23. However, we do not think that the committee needs to propose amending the transitional provisions of IFRS 10 and IFRS 11. We think that those provisions provide sufficient relief and guidance from retrospective application in order to address the issues raised by the submitter. In particular, we observe that IFRS 10 provides relief from retrospective application on the basis of impracticability, and that IFRS 11 also provides relief from retrospective application when changing from proportionate consolidation to equity accounting, or from equity accounting to recognizing a share of assets and liabilities. We think that the committee can issue an agenda decision in the IFRIC update. We consequently recommend the committee not to take this issue onto its agenda. A tentative agenda decision is shown in the paper. And our questions to the committee are the following. Does the committee agree with the staff analysis presented in this paper? Does the committee agree not to take the issue presented in this paper onto its agenda? And does the comments on the drafting of the tentative agenda decision presented in this paper?
Comments? I see him shaking, yes. Try the phones. Luca, are you on the phone?
Yes, I'm here. I have no comments.
Okay. Sandy?
I'm here. Same. I don't have anything.
Okay. Laurent?
I'm not disagreeing. I just note that with the draft agenda rejection and the comments that are made about how to implement the impracticability exemption, some may see it as lowering the hurdle for impracticability compared to some prior practices where you require best efforts and so on and to really do a lot before you claim practicability. That's an observation. The second observation I would make relates to that paragraph relating to IFRS 11. And the interpretation committee concluded that the initial application of IFRS 11 should not raise issues in respect to the application of other standards in most cases. I'm not necessarily completely sure about that. Because when you go from proportionate consolidation to equity method, we know, for instance, that applying IAS 36 does not necessarily lead to the same outcome or to the same results. It's not the same to do an impairment testing with cash flow projections when you have the individual assets even on a proportionate basis versus when you have an equity investment. and sometimes the differences you had between proportionate consolidation and equity method may lead to some differences. So I'm reserved on that statement that it should not lead into necessary differences.
Do you have some editorial changes you proposed, Patrick? Take a look at it. If you get something offline, you can
send me.
Are not normally expected to raise issues or something like that.
Okay. Scott?
As long as Laurence mentioned it, I will chime in on the sort of lowering the bar point. And while I agree with the analysis and the logic here, these standards could be brought up as being difficult to apply retrospectively in any retrospective accounting change. If the retrospective accounting change is to accrue something as a liability that previously we didn't, well, that liability would then have been part of a cash generating unit, and therefore we might not know what to do with IAS 36. So if this is the right logic, and I have trouble suggesting that it's not, I think what this is saying is that anytime we have retrospective application with a practicability exception, it's real easy for somebody to claim the practicability exception.
Yeah, that is troublesome. I was at the board table when the board initially debated what impracticability meant. And at that time, the then board members made it clear that their view was that it was impossible of accomplishment by human means. That it was a very, very high hurdle. I don't think it's evolved that way.
Yeah.
But at least initially when they debated it in, I think it's an 8, isn't it? They anticipated that it would be something you could very rarely meet.
So, and here we're presented with a situation where, hypothetically, we can do the consolidation accounting going back. The only thing we can't do is rerun the impairment test. And yet we're saying that is, sufficient for it to be impracticable. And I think, it does lower the bar and open the door. And I'm generally a prospective application guy anyway, so it doesn't particularly bother me all that much, but it does lower the bar.
Let's think about that in the final drafting of it. Okay, none other appearing, we'll take it, subject to editorial changes. Okay? You don't quite match Leonardo's record. False.
Good way to end your IFRIC presenting career.